So we're turning to Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, beginning our reading at verse 15. Let's listen to the public reading of God's Word. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. They that heard it said, Who then can be saved? And he said, The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Then Peter said, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, There is no man that hath left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting. Amen. We know God will add his blessing to this. Last Sunday night, looking at the verses that precede these that I have read to you tonight, we were looking at the parable of the Pharisee and the publican, two very different men as far as the spiritual and social elements of life were concerned, but when they both arrived in the same temple, they made two different prayers. One of them was so taken up with himself that he forgot about God, and he began to tell God with a proud spirit the kind of man that he was, and instead of praising God, he heaped praise upon himself. But the Lord Jesus Christ revealed this man, whatever he was externally, he revealed him to be a hypocrite. He was comparing himself to others, but he couldn't see his own true state in the sight of God. He even compared himself to the other man who had come into the temple, a man whom we know to be a publican, and he got it right. For he couldn't even lift up his eyes toward heaven. He bowed his head and he beat in his chest. And he made this wonderful prayer. He simply said, God, be merciful to me, for I'm a sinner. What a prayer that is. Jesus said that he was the man who went away justified more than the other man. Tonight, as we come back to these verses again, we're going to look here at the rich young ruler. And what an interesting character this young man is. You know by now that I love Bible characters. And this is one of my favorite, because every time that I read this story concerning this particular young man, I see a picture of many young men. And some today who are not so young, they're older now. But their life story revolves in the same way around this young man we're thinking about tonight. For though they've moved on in years, they have wasted a tremendous opportunity, just as we see this young man do. And I want to mention three very simple things tonight, because here is the Lord Jesus is speaking about children and the important place they have in life and in the kingdom, this young man comes and he falls down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and he simply asks this question. He said, "Good Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" I suggest to you this young man had an earnest desire. In fact, if you read the gospel accounts as they're given to us, not just here in Luke's gospel, but the other stories as well, you'll note that this young man, Mark relates it in his same story, he came running. There was a sense of urgency about this young man at the beginning when he came, and he also tells us that he fell down. It means that he actually threw himself down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. There were some issues in this young man's life that were burning in his heart. And as he comes to Jesus Christ and he throws himself down, he was thinking surely about his soul when he said, "Good Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" That's a very important question, isn't it? Not just for young men, but for older men too. And this is a very important question, not just for men. It's an important question for women. In fact, this is an important question for all of us. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? This young man, of course, had a good upbringing. That's abundantly clear. He's not asking the question in order to catch Jesus out, as the Pharisees would have done so often. He's not trying to put Jesus in a difficult position. He's not showing any lack of respect for a man that he saw to be a teacher. He simply comes with a heartfelt desire, having a good upbringing, having been influenced by the law from a tender age, knowing the commandments and what God demanded of him, he wanted to be sure about eternity. I love those words when Jesus questioned him and said to him, "You know what the commandments say," and the Lord Jesus Christ went over a number of them, and the young man turned around immediately and he responded and he said, "But all of these have I kept from my youth." I love that because that's a great encouragement. It's a great encouragement to those of us who are parents tonight to keep sharing the Word of God with our children and telling them what the Word of God says and what it is that God expects from them as they make their journey through life. Because even though at times they might seem totally disinterested, and even though at times it seems that they're just making their way through life with no thought about spiritual things, believe you me, the Word of God can be taken by the Spirit of God and planted deep within their young hearts. This young boy, he learned the Word of God. He knew the commandments from an early age. And now that little bit older, he comes with this question about eternity on his mind. Parents, never give up with your children. Teach them the Word of God. Train them and then leave them in the hands of God. And those of us who are engaged in teaching children, sometimes it can be most discouraging because very often it's not the fruit that we long to see amongst them. But keep doing it because God's word will not return unto him void. This young man came. He had a great upbringing. But the most important thing of all is this: he had considered eternity. What must I do to inherit eternal life? I'm not sure what this young man knew about eternal matters. We're not told. But I'm absolutely sure of this. He knew that death was not the end of his existence. He knew that somewhere beyond the life that he was living there and now, there was something beyond the grave, and he wanted to know what would be the outcome. He wanted to be sure about where he might be in eternity. Maybe some of you are here tonight and you're young in years. And you're saying to yourself, "Well, why on earth would he be concerned about eternity when he was still a young man with the whole world at his feet? A young man who was rich and could spend money in whatever he desired. A young man with so many prospects in life. This young man had so much in life going for him. Why on earth would he ever stop and consider eternity? That's a great question, isn't it? And I suppose I could take time tonight and I could list you any number of things as to why you and I should stop in life and consider eternity. But I'll tell you one, and this is a very important one. You and I should stop and consider eternity because we don't know how soon we might be in it. We don't know how soon we might be in it. And if you and I are going to find ourselves one day passing through life and out through death, and we find ourselves in this great thing called eternity, I ask you tonight, do you not want to be sure that it's well? That it's well with your soul. Doesn't matter how well it is with your life. Life ebbs and flows. We're up and we're down. And one day life will fade and all that we have will fade with it. Not the soul. I didn't know the hymns that Jim were picking tonight, but this is a great one we've just been singing. And I'm asking you tonight, like this young man, to pause just for a moment. Whatever stage of the journey of life that you're at right now, and I ask you to consider eternity. The hymn writer does the same thing. For here's what the hymn writer says by way of a Christian. Where will you spend eternity? This question comes to you and me. Tell me, what shall your answer be? Where will you spend eternity? This young man had thought about that. He had come running to the Lord Jesus Christ with an earnest desire. Good Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? But here's the second thing. This young man enjoyed an enlightening conversation. If he was genuinely concerned and interested in eternal matters, he had come to the right person. After all, the Lord Jesus Christ alone has the words of eternal life. And if you look through these verses, and I won't take time to do them verse by verse, but if you look through those verses I've read to you tonight, Jesus looks at this young man and he knows all about him. In fact, Jesus loved him and he loved him intensely, and he gives this young man the most clear, positive, simple directions with regards to this all-important question. If this young man was serious about the issue they were discussing, Jesus had the answer to his problem. Having listened to the young man speak about his upbringing and in some measure attempting to keep the law, we read this in verse 22. When Jesus heard these things, that's the things they've been talking about, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. One thing. Do you ever think that as you think about eternity, that one thing, just one thing, could keep you out of heaven? One thing. Not a whole series of things, though that might be true of many, just one thing. Wonder what it is that keeps you back from Christ tonight. What's that one thing that allows you to continue to sit on in your sin without a Savior? Jesus says, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, distribute to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Jesus loved this young man, but he made it abundantly clear that he couldn't be his disciple and he couldn't be sure of eternal matters unless he came and followed him. That's simple, isn't it? And the Lord Jesus Christ, as we've already noted many times in this particular book, he always reminded those who asked questions pertaining to eternity, he always reminded them of the cost of being a Christian. Remember what he had said in Luke 9:23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. That's what Jesus said to this young man, only in a more precise way. He says, come and follow me. And nothing could be more simple than that. If he really wanted to be sure about eternal matters, Jesus was the way. Maybe that's too simple for you to grasp. Maybe you think when it comes to the preaching of the gospel and telling people about the way home to heaven, maybe you think that everything should be a lot more complicated than that. Maybe you feel that this is even far, far too simple for people to take to heart because you expect something much more difficult as far as eternal things are concerned. Jesus simply says, come and follow me. Come and follow me. Why? Well, because he himself put it like this very simply in John's gospel. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, that dispels so many notions that people have today with regards to heaven. It does away with this idea that so many have, that if you work the very best you can, that sometime you'll have worked hard enough to find entrance to heaven. It won't work. All our righteousness, the Bible says, is like filthy rags in God's sight. As some people think, well, it's not good works, but if I attend church at least here, there, and yonder, and I do it occasionally, and somehow I give God a lip service, he'll know I'm interested, and thereby someday I'm going to find myself entering into that place that these Christians call heaven. And then Jesus says, no, I'm the way. It's not about a church. It's not about a creed. It's not about any of these things. It's about me. And he says to this young man, come and follow me. Young people, you know what it is like tonight to follow some of the things that are going on in the world tonight. You might follow a particular group. You might follow a particular team. You might follow so many things in life, and it's all part and parcel of you growing up and experiencing all that is around you. So you understand what I mean. When I say to you tonight, if you want to be sure of heaven, and you want to be sure that all's well with your soul, take to heart the words of Christ when he says, come and follow me. Because after all, it's Jesus Christ and him alone who has dealt with our sin. He did that on the cross. It's Jesus Christ alone who has opened up a way back to God from the dark paths of our sin. It's Jesus Christ alone, the one whom God sent into the world to be the Savior of the world, that can save you and me from our sin and bring us home to heaven. It's about him. And this young man couldn't grasp that. He wanted to speak about what he'd done growing up with all the commandments, obeying the law. And Jesus said, listen, if you really want assurance with regards to eternity, then sell what you have, give it to the poor, come and follow me. If you ever want to be sure of a place in heaven, the demands are still the same. I say this to you very lovingly, and you need to grasp it. You can never be in heaven apart from Jesus Christ. You cannot. If that sounds too simple, I make no apology for it, because that's the message of the gospel. And the hymn writer simply says, come to the Savior. Make no delay. For here in his word he has shown us the way, and here in our midst he's standing today, and he's tenderly saying, come. If you miss him, You miss everything that's important concerning the gospel. Yet this young man was standing in his midst. He heard the words, come and follow me. He had an earnest desire. He enjoyed this enlightening conversation. And then he was faced with an important decision. He'd come to the Lord Jesus. He'd asked the question. Jesus made it very real to him about what was expected. And then you look at this man and you see what he did and what he faced. Look at his choice. Remember, he had the world at his feet. He was a rich young man. The one thing he didn't have was the one thing that money couldn't buy. That was eternal life. And he had to decide what he was going to do with Christ. That's your choice tonight. No matter how you look at this, no matter how long I go on speaking about it, and I'll not be doing that for much longer. But at the end of the day, it comes down to this simple, simple choice. What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? If he's the only way that you can ever be sure of heaven, if he's the one who can take you home to heaven to be with himself, then are you going to come and follow him? That's your choice. I think of this young man, there's a consideration, because I'm convinced that he didn't just listen attentively to what Christ said. I'm convinced, being the kind of young man he was, he weighed up everything in his mind. He gave this some careful consideration. I mean, he came asking about eternal issues. He came with a sense of urgency, falling at the feet of the Lord Jesus. He would have looked at this from every angle. So it wasn't that he was simply making a decision about something he'd never thought about. And I'm absolutely convinced there's not a person sitting here tonight who hasn't thought about this before. I'm sure there have been many times when you've thought about your soul. And I'm sure there are many times when you've wrestled with your sin. And I'm sure you've sat in many meetings just like this. When you've heard a preacher say to you, listen, Jesus Christ is the only one who can take you home to heaven, and you've thought about it. Maybe you've thought about it so much. There have been times you've spoke about it with others. And maybe there have even been occasions when you've wanted to develop the conversation, or perhaps you've been sitting some night and thinking, well, there's something I know that it's true, and I know what I am, and I know where I'm going right now if I die in my sin. Some of these nights I'm going to speak to the pastor going out. I'm going to deal with this, and I'm going to deal with it once and for all. But you never did. It's not that you hadn't considered it. It's just that you've done nothing about it. Look at his conclusion. Verse 23 puts it like this. When he heard this, that is the cost that the Lord Jesus Christ laid down to come and follow him. It says he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Mark puts it more tragically in his gospel, for he says this. He was sad at this, saying, he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. That one thing. Held him back. And when it came to the crunch, this young man decided he'd put his gold before God. And he went away disappointed because he couldn't be done with that one thing that held him back from eternal life. Do you know what makes this story so tragic and so relevant for all of us tonight? This young man's heart was filled with desire. Good Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And this young man was given simple directions, for Jesus said, come and follow me. And yet with the desire and with the directions, he made the wrong decision. For he went away disappointed. I wonder what choice you'll make again tonight. What will you do with Christ? How will you respond to his invitation? What are you going to do about that one thing that keeps you back from trusting him? I'll say this in closing. Like this young man, we all need to consider eternity. For perhaps sooner than we think, we're all going to be in it. Will it be said of you and me, it was well, it was well with his soul. Don't go home disappointed. When Christ is waiting and willing to save you, go home with your soul burning within you. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole. It's nailed to his cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, my soul, what's your choice? Or more importantly, where will you be?